If you are hooked on thoughts of lust and sexual fantasy, then your sexuality has been perverted. This violation of nature's law comes at a hefty price, the depletion of your very physiology. It is hard to return to a state of innocence once the mind has been corrupted, though through diligent efforts on semen retention, you can reverse this affliction. If your mind keeps returning to lustful thought, your first course of action is to build up a longer streak of retention. It is true that if you start with the physical, the mental will eventually follow. When retaining over a period of time, the brain starts to change its response to sexual stimuli. This means signals that would have previously aroused your senses now have less effect on you. The feeling is still there, but it doesn't overtake your mind in quite the same way. The threads of lust are tightly wound around your mind, but only through sexual abstinence can they be loosened and ultimately released. On a long streak of retention, conversing with a woman may still ignite the passions, but the feeling is not perverted. It feels more pure and with less shame involved, more confidence, more manliness, less lustful imagery. All the bloods and energies need not rush to the genital area. The feeling is more of a full body experience, much like when we experienced our first crush or went on our first date. The feeling of sexuality need not devolve into carnal lust or fantasy. When constantly releasing and watching pornography, the sexual instinct becomes unnatural, and being in the same room with an attractive woman seems to overload the sexual appetite and overexcite the genitals. Often gratuitous sexual images spring from a perverted mind, an uneasiness or unnaturalness to do with the overactive nervous energy is present. An impure feeling or aura is often felt. Women can often sense when a man is lusting too strongly, and if the woman herself is of a pure nature, such a feeling can be quite displeasing, perhaps even repulsive to her and her sensibilities. This sexual feeling we feel when conversing with the opposite sex is very special. The feeling is tied to the creation of life itself, and it is our motivation for evolution, our hunger for living. This instinct is what compels peacocks to grow vibrant feathers, lions to develop manes, and birds to sing beautiful melodies. Every act of beauty and display is motivated by the desire for reproduction. This is hardwired into us, and thus our sexuality is a very powerful motivator of life, especially when it is directed into productive channels. To see the man who is robbed of this feeling, we just need to look at the eunuch, the castrated man. He has been written about at length for many thousands of years. He is known for his timidity, submissiveness, cowardice, and effeminate behavior. The sexual instinct in its natural state is the masculine instinct, the gentleman's instinct. It is the desire that makes man want to look after and protect his woman. From it springs all the good traits of man, his bravery, his confidence, his chivalry, and his adventurous spirit. It is easy to lose sight of this when practicing semen retention. I have spent long periods of time trying to block the feeling of sexuality out altogether. For the man addicted to self-pleasure, it is this sexual feeling that triggers the habit, and thus when quitting masturbation or sex, it is perhaps wise to completely forego the feeling of sexuality. But over time, once the sexual instinct returns to its more natural state, the feeling should be felt and utilized in your life for productive purposes. Strict continence enables the essence of these sexual secretions to be reabsorbed into the body. This not only makes for health, but also builds up those creative, intellectual, and intuitive faculties which show themselves in the work we do. Moreover, when we have learned to control this reproductive function, to turn inwards the mighty forces which it represents, we have solved one of the most important problems of existence, which brings us nearer to that superhuman stage to which we must ultimately attain. When conversing with a woman on semen retention, the overwhelming sensations of the genitals become less, and as a result, your feelings, your movements, and your way of conducting yourself begin to change. The act of chaste living is said to inspire man's humanity for this very reason. When we are talking to someone we are strongly attracted to, it takes influence over our behaviors in many subtle and some not so subtle ways. Often we may not realize the way our sexual desire manifests itself in our behavior, but perhaps you have seen another man acting extremely desirous or thirsty when around an attractive woman. When the feeling of sexuality is of a pure nature, the man becomes more chivalrous, more compassionate, more animated. When the feeling is of a corrupted sexual nature, his behavior reflects it, and he becomes more carnal, more sexually suggestive, more aggressive. An uncorrupted sexual instinct will guide man towards good conduct and good character. We must keep in mind that our character is leading us towards our destiny. Thus, it is imperative to maintain our good character for the sake of our destiny, and this can be done through the development of a healthy and natural sexual instinct. Through pornography, prostitution, and many other common vices, the morality of the average civilized man has been deeply perverted. Please imprint this idea into your mind with the utmost attention. Your morality or depravity, whichever you shall choose upon, will become your mind, your face, and ultimately, your destiny. Written in the 1800s. We have a child with all the faculties for good and evil, as yet without habits good or bad, but with power freely to choose his course. Let us suppose he chooses the way of righteousness, associates with the moral and religious, lives temperately, is studious and industrious, and at 15 he has an excellent reputation and presents an amiable, intelligent face, as in figure 2. On the contrary, in figure 3 we have an illustration of one who chooses the downward course, disobeys parents, plays truant from school, neglects or avoids religious and moral influences, casts off restraint, ignores respectability, becomes rough in features, slovenly in dress, impudent and vulgar in manner. He learns to smoke, chew, drink, swear, and gamble, attends horse races, cockfights, and prize fights, spends his nights at some low playhouse or dram shop, and develops into the full-grown rowdy. In process of time, figure 2 develops into figure 4, and is here seen in the full maturity of his faculties and powers, and is constantly becoming widely and well known for his well-directed talent and for his upright and honorable manhood. His habits are regulated by a well-instructed judgment. His body and brain act with harmony, clearness, and vigor. His features are comely, fresh, and open. Integrity and intelligence are stamped upon the head and beam from his manly face. He is a loving husband, a kind father, a faithful friend, an esteemed citizen, capable of filling positions of responsibility, and is a man whom the people delight to honor. On the contrary, figure 5, coming naturally from figure 3, is familiar with all sorts of vice and vulgarity. He disregards the domestic ties, and his wife and children suffer from his tyranny, baseness, and neglect. He leads young men into vicious, if not criminal, courses. He is a demagogue in politics, and obtains a precarious living by fraud and false pretenses. He is as corrupt in morals as he is in body, and his face shows his dissipation and depravity. It is strange that such a manhood should ripen into such an old age as figure 6 represents, and that having violated every dictate of decency and every canon of morals, his career should be terminated in frenzied suicide, or his worthless life should end by delirium tremens or the gallows, in a prison or a madhouse. With increasing years, figure 4 naturally becomes seen as in figure 7, and garners his honors. Like the rich cluster, he becomes sweet-minded as he ripens. and in the autumnal sun of peace, he patiently waits the gathering hand of the Heavenly Father. As he quietly glides from the fruition of a well-spent life, he enters upon his glorious future, and his memory remains the cherished legacy of his descendants. Young men, this double picture is before you. You can become the one or the other. You can make life royal in all greatness and goodness, or you can be a failure in all that makes man the image of God. Which do you decide to become? Your choice now to choose vice will seal the course of your fate. Just as a man who conducts himself well with honesty and the avoidance of vice will secure his future. Thoroughly consider this choice you have before you, and you should eventually arrive at the conclusion that indulging in vice, such as masturbation, will ultimately destroy you. With this understanding, we can keep ourselves on the correct path, engaging in correct conduct and avoiding dangerous temptations. Do not allow this world to corrupt you. Do not allow vices in. Conserve your vital fluids as they are vital to the support of your being. Do not waste this gift you have been given, that is, your body. Concentrate your energy into your work and purpose, and you will become great at whatever undertaking you choose to pursue. It has been said that the level of attachment one has to sexual vice is in direct proportion to the lack of joy and lack of love they have experienced in life. That is to say that those who are neglected, socially excluded, bullied, and so on, usually develop a much stronger propensity for vice than those who are well-loved and respected by society. If you find yourself with an insatiable desire for sexual gratification, you may very well be able to trace that feeling back to a part of your childhood where you felt excluded, bullied, unloved, and so on. If you can recall those feelings you experienced growing up, you may be able to more understand that overwhelming allure and pleasure that sexual stimulation offered you in those times. Vice often becomes a sort of medicine that temporarily takes away negative feelings in life. But like all vices, it is only temporary, and the price you pay afterwards is far greater than its reward.